Shannon Baptist Church exists to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ one life at a time in the Midlands and beyond.
Consumerism's first name is Give Me, its middle name is Now, and its last name is Or Else I Leave. Give Me, Now, Or Else I Leave. Hi, everyone. I'm Dawndy Mercer-Plank. Welcome to the second edition of Shandon Plus Podcast. I'm your host, along with Dr. Daniel Dickard, and we today are looking at consumerism in the church and the dangers of commercialized ministry and how to spot consumerism in the church. Daniel, first, I think we have to explain, because we know what consumerism is. I mean, obviously, consumers will leave you at a moment's notice if they don't get what they want or desire. What is consumerism in the church?
I love what James Twitchell said. He said, God is a belief, not a brand. We want to welcome those who are joining us for the second episode, and you were a glutton for punishment today, as we're going to be talking about one of these individualistic vines within the church. You know, as we think about consumerism, though, Dawndy, I think we first have to define it, and I would define it this way, that in its most technical sense, it is the protection and promotion of the interest of consumers. Now, we want to put the cookies on the bottom shelf, so what does that mean in the church? I would say it means when branding replaces the Bible and marketing techniques oust faithful witnessing, when crossless churches remove the crown of Christ and place his royal crown on the head of consumerism. This is not just, Dawndy, what I would call a head issue. This is really a heart issue within the church. It's the church needs to remain about God, not about secular branding and marketing techniques. We're not against those things here, but we want to keep the main thing, and that's that we keep Jesus front and center. And so, yes, today we're going to be talking about one of these individualistic vines, which is consumerism that keeps churches from a we mentality.
You wrote a book called Church Together, The Church of We in the Age of Me, and I have found it very convicting because I don't like to think of myself as a me ministry-minded person, but rather a we ministry-minded. But the reality is we can get caught up in some of these things. We can get caught up in consumerism in the church. For example, I find myself sometimes saying, wow, we had 50 people in Sunday school class today. Wow, did you see it? Even the balcony was packed in the worship time. And the reality is, you have some letters of the alphabet that I think kind of point out the ABCs and DEFs and the difference. Explain that.
Yeah, we have to understand that the measures of ministry are much different, Dawndy, than the measures of secular business. Now, many of our podcast listeners who are members at Shandon or perhaps at other churches across our country, that they are involved in business. And while there are certain business principles that do apply in ministry, we cannot apply every business principle to ministry. As someone once told me, there's the business side of ministry and there's the ministry side of ministry, and you cannot confuse the two. So when we think about the ABCs, we're talking about attendance and budgets and campuses. Perhaps you're a pastor today listening to this podcast, and that, yes, you're thinking about your budget right now. You're thinking about the people that God has entrusted to you. We certainly want to celebrate when more people come to saving faith in Jesus. Even in the book of Acts, they were counting. There were 3,000 that came to faith in Christ on Pentecost. So numbers do matter. However, it's not just how many are there. Really, it's about who is there. We're about people. So the ABCs, we don't discount the ABCs, attendance, budgets, campuses, but we have to add on the DEFs. That's discipleship, evangelism, and fellowship. To have one without the other would lead to consumerism, or to have the DEFs without having the ABCs, that we're not focused on holistic ministry. So we want to talk about not just having the right ABCs, but also the DEFs, discipleship, evangelism, evangelism and fellowship.
And we want to make sure that we as a church or anybody listening within their own churches can spot consumerism in the church. One way is when you point out is that sometimes we look at the worship service as though it has become a stage. In fact, to tell on myself, I had said to Glenn earlier, why, when after a baptism, when the screen goes up, the words don't come up fast enough? And it was very convicting because I thought, I get so consumed with, why are the words not up there? And the reality is, and he explained, because of the timing of getting the projector up as well, that it's all has to sync up. And I knew there had to be something, but we oftentimes, you know, we joke that people are turning around in the middle of service looking back at Glenn as though, oh, he forgot to press a button. And it's not that he forgot to press a button. It just takes time. But we get so into focusing that the worship time is a stage instead of truly just worshiping.
Yeah, that's a great point. And for those who are listening today, Glenn is one of our best staff members who's on our worship and media team. But you're right. As we think about the very idea of worship, worship has become a stage rather than an altar. Now, what's the difference? In the Old Testament, an altar was a place where things die. But a stage is a place of performance, at least when you think of it in the theatrical sense or in the American performance sense. We don't want the worship service to be a stage of performance. Instead, we want it to be a place where people die to sin self in the world and that they live for Christ, as Paul would say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we first have to define what is worship. I think worship is all that we are responding to all that God is. Here's a biblical principle that we should all take note of. Worship is not what we receive. Worship is what we give. We don't come to the worship service to receive something. That would be consumeristic in nature. That would be me-centered in nature. We come to worship giving God something. In other words, our worship is what has taken place during the week and that we come together and we give God our very best. But when we see the worship service, Dondi, as a performance or as a place where performative elements occur, we do not have room for margin. In fact, here's another principle that I think our listeners should consider. That whenever we're basing things off of performance, there's a standard that we expect. And when there's a standard, there's no margin for mercy or there's no margin for there to be error. And so in our churches, we come wanting to receive something rather than wanting to give something. And yes, we want worship to be compelling, but it's Christ that's compelling.
And you're not saying that you're against stage lighting or creative visual improvements by any means.
No, not at all. In fact, we want to give our best to the Lord. That's what the Bible would tell us, that everything that we're to do it unto the Lord. But what we're saying is this is a matter of priority. When we come to church, we want to be able to give something to the Lord, not just to see what's taking place as a performance, but rather, this is an act of worship as we gather together with our body of believers.
And consumerism can also fall over into the area of prayer. Sometimes you've pointed out that we can devalue prayer when we see it as a time filler or a transition mark within the service.
Yeah. How many services have we been a part of? Certainly, even here at Shannon, but other churches, if you're a pastor listening today or a church member, you have been a part of a church where it seems like prayer is that filibuster. It's that time of transition from one element to the other in the worship service. But prayer is so much more. I love this definition for prayer. Prayer is when our need for God gets a voice. That prideful people are prayerless people, but people who are dependent are people who truly pray. We want to be people who are desperate for God. Now, certainly God hears all prayers, but God certainly hears desperate prayers. That desperate prayers grasp eternity. And so we want to be a church that even when we gather together for worship, and by the way, so often when we think about worship, we think about the songs that we sing, we think about the guitars or the pianos or whatever instruments are being played. That's just one part of worship. Worship is all that we are, responding to all that God is. So in the worship service, Dawndy, that would include the preaching of the word, that would include giving, that would include prayer. All of this is an act of worship unto the Lord, and we don't want to turn that into a stage of performance, but rather we want it to be a place where our will dies unto the Lord. At the cross, everyone's will has to die, and it's got to be more of God and less of self.
Another area where we see consumerism kind of creep into the church is when we see other churches as competitors.
Yeah, we are all on the same team. I think of here in Columbia or in the Midlands, all the gospel-teaching, Bible-believing churches that we are all part of the same team. We see this overtly and covertly, but there's an unspoken mindset. We often say, how can we be the best church in our community? But it's not just being the best church in our community, it's being the best church for our community. And so churches should not see one another as competitors, but instead that we are co-laborers in the gospel. In the first episode, we talked about Charles Darwin, and many of us know that book on the origin of species, which it's not a book that we would commend to you as a book to grow in your Christian faith, but there's this mindset that the survival of the fittest wins. Well, when we apply that to churches today, that if we have better music or better kids programming or better this or that people will come to us. Dawndy, a few months ago, I had a pastor tell me that if you are church planting in the South or pastoring in the South, that if you do these four areas well, you certainly will be better than any church in your community. And I'll tell you these four here in just a moment, but parenthetically, as he said that, it was filled with consumerism. He said, if you have the best preaching in town, if you have the best music in town, if you have the best kids ministry in town or some form of small groups, your church will certainly grow. But my question to him, where is the Holy Spirit in that? That's a man-made formula that's based on setting us up as competitors to other churches rather than seeing ourselves as co-laborers in the gospel. J.D. Greer has written a great book, and in that book that he says that we gain by losing. What if we saw in our churches that success was not based on the seating capacity, but rather the sending capacity?
Mm-hmm.
How we send people. We recently helped with a church plant down the road, 4 or 5 miles down the road from Shannon, and they are thriving. They are doing great gospel work. We celebrate that. They're not our competitor in town. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we've got to move away from this competitive mindset that other churches are after the same people, they're after the same niche, but instead seeing that, no, we have to reach others. I like to put it this way. We don't want to swap chairs on the Titanic deck, but instead we want to be fishers of men. And so there are enough unbelievers out there in the world today that we have to share the gospel with them and then build them up in maturity. There's no place in the church for us to see one another as competitors.
Okay, you ready to step on some toes here?
Oh, let's do
you
it.
You ready?
Let's
okay.
do it.
So, the gathered church is replaced by the virtual church. We talk about the virtual church, first of all, as something that was very necessary, and we were very grateful to be able to have a virtual church during COVID, and people could not get out. Doors were maybe not open as often. The reality is, we've seen it become, hey, my hair didn't do well today, so I'm just going to watch church online. Hey, I'm really tired. I'll just catch the service online. Or maybe, well, you know, I've got so much to get done. I don't have time to get to church and drive back home, so I'll just do church at home and watch online. Ooh.
Yeah.
So I know there are going to be some people listening right now that go, oops. I do that.
You know, and I would say to that as well, there are a few caveats. When you're away for business,
Absolutely.
We understand. When you're on vacation
Absolutely.
With your family, there are certain times where...
Or if you're sick and you don't want to come and infect all of us.
Or some of the sweetest members who are part of our church, our homebound members...
There's a reason for the virtual church.
There's a reason
Absolutely.
For that. But I would even say in our language that we need to be precise because... Where in the book, I use the term virtual church because people understand that, but it's really a virtual online service. The church, ecclesia, is a gathering of believers, and you cannot gather online and fulfill the one another's of Scripture. It's impossible to do so. So, yes, we are for having a setting, a gathering where people can listen online, but it's truly not church because you cannot fulfill all the one another's. In fact, the easiest way for us to obey the Lord is found in Hebrews 10, which tells us, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. If there's one way that you can obey the Lord this week, it's simply get up and come to church and be with other believers on Sunday when we gather. So yes, we are thankful that we have virtual online services, but the church is the gathering, and the gathering takes place in person where we can fulfill those one another's of Scripture.
And it is, by gathering together, it is a way to be the church of we in the age of me. So let's give some practical advice then, Daniel, on how the church of we can reject consumerisms. You have 3 points to that, being family, Bible, and mission. Explain.
I love what Lon Solomon, who was at McLean Bible Church for years, he used to say, so what and now what? This is really the now what of consumerism, not just it being ethereal or this individualistic vine in a me-centered mindset, but what are the ways that we can stem the tide? What are the ways that we can move to a we-centered mindset? Well, the first, Dawny, I would say it's the Bible. The Bible is the greatest weapon in the Christian's arsenal to combat consumerism. A Bible-centered church sees the world through the eyes of the world. A biblical church gets its name because of a basic commitment to Scripture that looks radical in a biblically illiterate age. I mean, think about it like this. We live in the most literate society known to mankind. Never before in the history of the world have people been more literate, but never before have we been more biblically illiterate. So one of the ways that we combat consumerism is getting people into the Word of God. I love what one of my pastor friends says, get into the Word of God until the Word of God gets into you. But another way that we do this is also through family. We so often say that the church is not an event you attend. The church is a family to which you belong. And the spiritual snapshot for biblical growth will always include a Bible and other Christians. So the church as a family is not run as a business of consumers, but rather a family where everyone cares for one another. They said that in the early church there in the first and second century, that there was a Roman guard who went undercover, and he came back to report to the other Roman governmental officials, and he says, one thing I can say about these people, they love one another. That's what it means for the church to be a family. Mm. And then finally, I would say not only a family, but also a mission. God has given us a mission, and we have to stay on mission as a church. I love what David Livingston, that great missionary from Africa, said. God had one son and made him a missionary. Jesus did not give a mission to his church. He formed a church for his mission. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. So, Bible, family, and mission, 3 practical ways that we combat consumerism in the church today.
Very practical ways indeed. Bible, family, mission, things to think about this week. Thanks everyone for being with us for our second podcast, Shandon Plus. We are next week going to look at some of the differences, difficulties, that is, of the dangers of a what works ministry. Because a lot of times we think, well, does this work? Is this of God? We'll find out next week. I'm Dawn Dee Mercer-Plank for Shandon Plus.
Daniel Dickard, Senior Pastor of Shandon Baptist Church, signing off. We'll see you next week.